Yeah, let's go.
All right, welcome in Big Blue Kickoff Live. We have video back, so you get to see
everyone.
Well, actually, your baldness that's going on with Jeff Fiegels. Jeff Fiegels and Anita Marks with you today on this. It's Friday, and guess what? First day of practice for...
And it's raining.
Don't come on. I'm trying to be uplifting here.
Okay.
First day of practice for the Giants. Really stoked about it. Practice begins at 10:40. Again, as Jeff said, it is raining here in East Rutherford. So what does that mean? The Giants players have to go inside. They're going to be practicing inside their little dome, their little Quest bubble, which unfortunately means not open to the public.
Bummer.
So, yeah, bummer. But listen, this summer there's been beautiful weather. I don't know about you. I've been playing a lot of golf.
Yeah. Hasn't rained a lot, but we need the rain that we're getting. And, you know, one of the reasons when you look at why the Giants are here opposed to being up at Albany, there's a lot of different reasons. But one of the main ones is that, you know, back in the days when they were up at training camp in Albany, the weather came into effect a lot of times, and that Giants team had to go into the gym. And they only were able to get minimal stuff done. And so the opportunity for them to have the indoor facility here and being able to go in and practice inside was a huge determining factor of why the Giants now are staying in their home here in East Rutherford for training camp. So on a day like this, when it is raining, they're not going to have to miss a day of practice because you only get so many of them, boys and girls, and that's why you've got to go inside, and it's a good thing. But, you know, honestly, Anita, I don't know if I would have liked being in the same facility where I practice at every day during the season, because I feel like training camp is a time when guys like to get
You're
together.
Old school.
Yeah, but I would agree that I think that other people would agree with me here is that, you know, there's not enough time for these guys to get together and really get to know each other in a way that camaraderie, being around an apartment and being there playing cards, you know, these guys are doing it on the floor of the locker room now.
Still stay in a hotel not too far, like a
hop,
skip, and a jump.
But the hotel is just two guys. Remember, in Albany, we had an apartment. There was three different rooms and a living room.
Yeah,
guys kind of came over.
And they were sleeping on cots.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you,
were you sleeping on the floor back then?
No, we were we had those inflatable, the beds that were, they had a control. If you wanted a hard bed or a soft bed, you could, you know, in the middle of the night, you'd hear the thing come on because the big guys that I lived with, they would be sucking the air out of those mattresses.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying that by training camp being here, where of course their facility is, you lose that element of camaraderie where guys kind of pack up, go to camp.
Right.
You know, you've got Oakland who are out there in Napa and Sonoma. You've got the Cowboys who go out west as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're away, you're camping, you're growing as a unit. I get all that, but I will say this in regard to the sleeping arrangements, in regard to the food and the nutrition, in regard to what you alluded to, the fact that they can practice,
sure,
they can still continue to practice and have a practice schedule regardless of the weather, it benefits them to be here.
And also the technology. You know, they don't have to move all this stuff up
exactly
there. Because before, when you went up there back in the day, as you will, you know, you had all the beta tapes. They had to bring all the tapes up there. Everything is on the network here. So there are advantages and probably more advantages, if you alluded to. I feel like that it's just you miss that component of the camaraderie where the guys just used to be able to – they knew they were going to training camp, and it was just hunker down for 30 days, man, and get ready to play. But
30 days, it's 2 weeks now.
Oh, I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, back in the 80s, late 80s and early 90s, we were there. We reported the week after July 4th, and we were in camp for 6 weeks. And, you know, nowadays, and back then they had, you know, 120 players in camp, so things were a little bit different. There was a little bit of hazing going on with the rookies back then, not as much as they are these days. So as we know, that doesn't happen anymore. But regardless, we are here today. It's Friday. The Giants kicking off their training camp schedule. And I tell you, there's a buzz going around the facility here today. The parking lot is full. You got ESPN is here today. I saw Sal Palantonio out there. So this is a big deal. And really, it is a big deal for the National Football League because everybody that's diehard football fans like we all are, we're waiting for these last couple days to come around after talking so much about the draft and free agency and this and that. Here we go.
Here we go. That's right. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get on board. A lot of excitement. And really, I talked about it with Schmelk the other day. I want to continue the conversation in regard to, you know, what's the most exciting position battle you're most looking forward to? You know, if you're going to come out here, one day you're going to come out here to training camp, what's the one area that you're really going to be focusing in on? Jeff and I, we're going to go through each position. We're going to talk about each position, the quarterback positions, the wide receiver positions. Jeff's going to share with me some of the guys that he's going to keep an eye on, who he thinks very well could possibly make the final roster. And maybe there's a guy out there you want to chime in that you think might make the final roster.
Absolutely.
We want to hear from you. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Also, I'm monitoring Twitter throughout the show, so please, hashtag Giants Chat, and I will share those tweets throughout the show as well. So again, we're with you, and really through the remainder of training camp, because training camp, the way that the schedule is now with Ben McAdoo, how he's changed things around, Big Blue Kickoff Live will be coming to you from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Throughout camp. And so that's why we're starting early. Again, 201-939-4513. Practice starts at 10:40 today. As we said, they will be inside. Exciting to see, number one, yesterday, Victor Cruz passed his physical. Two thumbs up. So really interested to see how they work Victor Cruz into practice today. I would imagine they're still going to take it slow. But the fact that he passed his physical, he's going to participate in practice. How much of practice? Individual drills. Will he have the pads on? Will he be running routes with the rest of the wide receivers in 7-on-7 or live? Only time will tell. But I'm really excited to see what he can do.
And it's interesting because there has to be some sort of a philosophy here and kind of a plan. Because, you know, even though he did – the first step in this process was to see if he could go out there and open it up on that conditioning test, which, by the way, it was 8 half-gassers. If anybody scoring at home wanted to know what that was, a half-gasser is over the field and back in a certain amount of time. You did 8 of those with a little break in between each one. But, you know, more importantly, the conditioning test is for everybody, not just Victor Cruz, so that the team comes back, shows the coaching staff that when they went away for those 5 weeks that they were not just sitting on their butt and eating donuts all day, that they were conditioning themselves to get ready. It's not real, real difficult, but if you're not in shape, it will become difficult. But for Victor Cruz, that's the first step. Now, the next step, as you said, Anita, is that, you know, what are they going to allow him to do in practice, kind of, you know, get him going a little bit. I don't think you want to, you know, be overly cautious with him, because you got to see if he can play or not, because you got other positions. You know, Sterling Shepard is one guy that we're going to talk about later on in the program, but I feel like he's a guy that the reason he's here is because of what we're talking about right now. We don't know how Victor Cruz is going to react to coming off of that injury. He missed the last 26 games, if you can imagine that. So, but excitement, absolutely, because if we can get Victor Cruz back at an 80 or 85% of what he used to be, that's still pretty darn good.
Again, 201-939-4513. That's the phone number. All right. Also, some other news yesterday. Only 3 out of 22 players last year who ended up, not able to participate because of injury towards the end of the year. Only 3 come into this training camp on the PUP. Bromley dealing with an ankle. He has some ankle chips that he had just a minor surgery on to clean up. Yeah, ankle chips. None that you can eat, but ankle chips to clean them out.
You don't
out.
Find those in the Doritos aisle at Stop and Shop, do you?
Is that where you shop?
Ankle chips.
Is that where
it depends on where I'm at, yeah.
JT Thomas is dealing with a hamstring issue, and Snacks is dealing with a knee issue. Again, the 3 of them, none very serious.
Right.
As soon as they feel they're ready to participate, they will. Very interesting in regard to out of those 3, JT Thomas, because there is a position battle going on right now at that linebacker position, and you don't make the club
if you're in the tub.
That's right. And so JT Thomas, it would be to his advantage to get healthy and get back out there as quickly as possible. So why don't we do this? Why don't we start talking about the defense? Let's start on the defense.
Why don't we just start with those linebackers, with JT Thomas? I mean, you know, he's a guy that last year he started 11 games, okay? He went out because of injuries. There is a lot of depth at the linebacking position this year, especially with the Will linebacker. You're talking about Jonathan Castillas. You got Kelvin Shepard, who came over from Miami, who doesn't get hurt. That guy's missed 3 games in 5 years. I mean, so there's something to be excited about from that position. And JT Thomas, you know, obviously he's going to have to prove that he can stay healthy in camp and then compete for this job. But, you know, between all 3 of those, I think that Jonathan Castillas, in my mind, is probably the guy that's penciled in there to be the starter. However, do not Do not count out Kelvin Shepard. I think that he's a guy that's gonna mix it up in there. These guys are gonna compete in camp, and it's gonna come down to those. And you know, Captain Obvious here, it's gonna come down to those preseason games to see, you know, which one of these guys can step up and really be able to play and start at that position. But I think all three of those guys have a chance to start. My hat probably goes to Jonathan Castillas right now.
Yeah. So. I mean, a number of positions. I think we're in agreement that we do believe that Devon Kennard will start at strong side linebacker.
Sure. Yeah, right? I don't even have now, in my analysis here. I didn't even go there, but I think, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so, but there's going to be a big question mark in regard to middle linebacker, weak side linebacker. As you're talking about Casillas battling it out with JT Thomas potentially, I think Keenan Robinson.
Yeah, in the middle.
But I think Keenan Robinson could play weak side linebacker as well. I think you've got to throw him in the mix and possibly Jasper. I see Jasper Brinkley winning that middle linebacker position. Don't be surprised if it's Kennard, Brinkley, and Robinson.
No question, because you know, you look at Brinkley, he's really a two-down player at that linebacking position. He's very, very good against the run. In fact, last year he was the number five middle linebacker to grade out, according to Pro Football Focus, against the run. So you're going to want him in there on first and second downs. Unfortunately, he's not the best in coverage. But if you look at Keenan Robinson, they're kind of the yin and the yang. He's a better he can go ahead and cover tight ends. He's a better pass defender, but he's not a great run stopper. So you look at those two guys, maybe platooning a little bit in there, but I give the nod as well to Jasper Brinkley, because I feel like, you know, at the end of the season last year and going into free agency, nobody really talked about how he played last year. And really, he was a very good football player for the Giants last year. And the fact that they did re-sign him goes to show you that they have some interest in him and being a starter this upcoming season.
All right, so anything else you want to say about the linebacking position?
No, I just think that, okay. You know, as far as this is the first year in my mind and a few that there's a lot of depth here. So I feel like there's not a lot of, you know, surefire guys that we know who are going to be the starters. So I think ultimately this is one position on the whole football team for everybody to keep their eyes on, because it's going to be day to day and week to week as far as who they're platooning in there. And the best man's going to win out this thing, but there is a lot of depth at the linebacking position, something we haven't seen in a while. Absolutely.
And also, I think some question marks. It's kind of a,
sure.
And I find it interesting when fans don't know a lot about what a player could bring to the table, it's immediately kind of a negative.
Yeah. Well, who are these guys? We don't know who they
are. Yeah, we don't know who they are. So our linebacking core is not going to be that great. Don't go in with that type of what's the phrase I'm looking for here? Don't go in immediately expecting it just to be doom and gloom at the linebacking position. Give these guys a chance. They're going to be battling it out. There's talent here. There's guys that now have been under Spag's system for going into their second year. Just be a little bit more optimistic, because I hear a lot of
doom and
gloom.
More eyes wide open, kind of, you know, instead of just really focusing on your guys in your mind, you got to cast the net out there a little bit, because there's a lot of people there that you have to include in this. And a couple of players that we failed to mention that are in the mix here, obviously B.J. Goodson, who the Giants drafted this year. You know, we're not talking about a starting position here. We're talking about a young player who can bring some depth to this position, but more importantly, going to play special teams this year. And then where does Mark Herzlich fit into this? You know, so there's some things that, as far as what Anita is saying, that don't just focus in on those guys that we just talked about. You got to understand that this is a very deep, deep class at linebackers, and we'll see what happens.
All right, looking at the DB department.
Yep.
Of course, they bring in Janoris Jenkins, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, and of course, they're going to work in Eli Apple. Something I talked about with a few of the coaching staff in regard to the secondary was, you got to pay attention to how many times Dominic Rogers taps out and needs a breather, needs a minute. Even though, let's say, hypothetically speaking, Eli Apple does not start at a corner position, or he doesn't start at the slot corner position, doesn't mean he's not going to get a ton of playing time.
No.
I think you're going to see a tag team on that side of the field with Dominic Rogers-Cromartie and Eli Apple. Keep that in mind. And then at the safety position, Landon Collins. I was listening. You know, Paul Dottino shared with me yesterday, you know, Landon Collins led this team in tackles last year?
Well, he was in there all 16 games. which is impressive.
But also around the ball.
Yeah.
Around the ball.
And they see and them – they like to see him in the mix down there. You know,
right.
He's a big dude. He's a strong guy.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why.
And I love Darian Thompson. I know it's small sample size. We just got to really get to know what he can do at OTAs. And, well, OTAs are OTAs. But I'm expecting big things from him this camp. Don't forget he's competing with Bennett Jackson, Mikel Thompson, Cooper Taylor, Nat Burhe, just to name a few. But – there's going to be that competition to play opposite or next to Landon Collins. My money is on Darian Thompson. I think this kid is special. So I like this secondary this year.
Well, it's to stay with the safeties, you know, if you want to pencil in Landon Collins, obviously playing 16 games last year in Spag's system. He grew up a lot towards the end of the season. I know he's grown up a lot in the off season, but having another year of that system underneath his belt is going to help him compete for that. So I would see him being the safety there. The other one is, you know, who Taylor Cooper, the guy, you know, you look at him, he's had an injury. His pass is so, you know, he came out of the OTAs and everything starting at that position. However, Darian Thompson, like you said, I feel has the upper hand in there. He's smart. And one thing that I like about him coming out of college is he's a playmaker, and he's going to make some interceptions there, something that team was lacking in that department last year. So, and Mikel Thompson and Nat Burhe and Bennett Jackson, you know, I look at those three guys as being contributors on special teams and any kind of injury that happens. But, you know, they can't keep all these safeties, so some of these guys are going to be leaving. But most importantly, I believe that Darian Thompson is going to be one of those guys that could start. You know, and Dante Dion, I mean, what a story this kid was in OTAs in the spring. I mean, he came out of nowhere. So, you know, as far as a reserve corner, here's a guy you got to look at this year. And one of my guys to keep an eye on for you fans, if you're coming out to this training camp, you can't miss him. He's only about this tall, so you'll be able to see him. And I think that he brings a lot of swagger for his size and being in the NFL. You know, he's got a mouth, which is good, because if you're that size, you got to talk a little bit. But I think he's a tough kid, and I think that he really opened some people's eyes here in the spring. And so look for him to compete for one of those reserve cornerback spots this year.
All right, defensive line. The Giants went out, spent a ton of money to bring in and, of course, improve that defensive line because, look, we saw it in the Super Bowl, right? All the hoopla about Cam Newton, but what happened? That Carolina Panthers defensive line got to him, rattled his cage, and, of course, the Denver Broncos ended up winning the Super Bowl. Olivier Vernon, he comes over from Miami. Jason Pierre-Paul re-ups with the Giants. I love Damon Harrison. I love Snacks. I feel that Snacks is the best get for the Giants this offseason.
Sure.
They had such a hard time against the run. If you look at the stats, Snacks on the field, off the field, when he was with the Jets, and what the running backs, opposing running backs, were able to do in that regard, night
not
and day.
Yeah.
Not much. Night and day. So I love the addition of Snacks. And then, of course, you have Hankins. And then coming off as your fifth and sixth man off the bench, 00 and Kerry Wynn. You got Bromley. I think this defensive line could be a top 10 defensive line in the NFL this season, Jeff.
No question. And one thing about Snacks Harrison is that, you know, he played in that 4-3. So, or excuse me, 3-4. So he's going to be going to a 4-3. And people have talked to him about that. And some of his responses to everyone is that, you know what, listen, I'll be okay. In fact, I'm excited about it because there could be a chance that I might be able to move one slot outside and get a little pressure on the quarterback out there. So I agree with you, Anita. I think he was one of the most, I think the signing of him really solidifies that defensive line as being a top 10, you know, D line for the league, because these guys all can rush the passer. They're good against the run. I think the one caveat in this whole thing is that how will JPP come back this year? We obviously know the presence he had when he came back last year with the injury, but he's healed up. He's saying that his hands feels great. He said to me, the other day, I read about it, my both hands feel the same. Because that means a lot. So obviously they're functional, and I think that he has a lot to prove to coming back and playing. I think that he wants to have a super, super year, and I think all the Giants fans agree with that. So obviously, Olivier Vernon, I think that we're all excited about seeing him play. And to me, what's the most important thing about this defensive line is that these guys play together and they start to learn everybody's techniques and start to get to know each other through this training camp so they can come out and be a formidable D-line and get back to Giant football, putting pressure on that quarterback like they always have in the past. And again, like you said in the Super Bowl, if you get pressure on that quarterback, you know, it just helps everybody else behind him.
201-939-4513. I do want to talk special teams.
And then, really? Yes.
And then we're gonna we'll take some calls before we dive into the offensive side of the ball. Josh Brown, obviously, Brad Wing, and Zach Diassi. That makes up really your special teams, along with, of course, Dwayne Harris and the returners. But Josh Brown, one of the best field goal kickers in the NFL. Zach Diassi, can we say enough about him besides what a phenomenal golfer he is as well? and Brad Wing as well. So special teams-wise,
solid.
You know, Giants are solid.
Solid. And I feel like last year they came off the 2015 season as one of the best special teams units in the league. You've got veterans at every position, returning, kicking, punting, snapping, which is good. Brad Wing has re-upped his contract. You got one thing with Zach Diassi coming off of an injury. He missed some games at the end of the season, but he's a full go. He's a veteran. He's a captain of this team. So, you know, really, Giants fans were longing for that special teams return unit to get something going after years and years of ineptness. And I feel like last year with Dwayne Harris having the punt return for a touchdown, the kickoff return for a touchdown, gets everybody really excited about the special teams. And the Giants have to be a threat rather than a liability as they've been in the past in that department.
Also, I'm getting a lot of questions about Paul Perkins, the running back that's coming in from UCLA.
Yes.
In regard to what his role is going to be. I'm excited to see what he can contribute on special teams as well.
I think he'll be phenomenal at special teams. His speed, he's very quick. He can get away from people. So you might see him out at the gunner position running down there and making tackles. But aside from the special teams, and we haven't really talked about the running back position, which I have said all along is the most intriguing position.
Okay, we're not
going
to get there.
I know, yet. But we will talk about that soon. Yeah.
Okay. So let's take some calls. 201-939-4513. I know this is a surprise for folks because normally we're on from 12 to 1. But again, just a reminder, we are on from 10 to 11 a.m. throughout training camp. And why? Well, because Ben McAdoo, he's changed some things up. And I like what he's done. And he's playing to the fact that, listen, this team, they're millennials. And
they are, right?
They are.
That's the way it is.
They're millennials. And so, you know, millennials do things a little bit differently.
Yes, they do.
Than what at least you and I are kind of used to. Meetings now, instead of two lengthy meetings in the course of the day, there are three very short meetings. There's music being played out at practice. There's breaks that are being done at practice that are similar to commercial breaks. So to give the players a feel of what it's like, game time situation, but while at practice.
Yeah.
When they go live, they're only going to go – did you hear this? When they go live, they're only going to go half the line so that you don't have the risk of the other
side – people coming in.
The other side of the line coming back and rolling on somebody's ankles. So there's – there are changes that are being made by Ben McAdoo to help the safety and health of this team, and there are changes that are being made by Ben McAdoo to tap into the millennial generation, hoping that he'll get better production from them.
Millennial evolution. That's what it is. It really is. Because,
there
you go.
You
know, and I will tell you this, and it all makes sense. When you think about, and I'm going to just kind of segue into Major League Baseball, you look at the All-Star game and how many guys were under the age of 26 years old in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everything is different. But my point here is that these young guys coming out of college, this is how they did it in college. Why not replicate what they're used to now in the pros? And that's the music. It's, you know, the college guys, they don't practice that much. They can only have so many practice time and meeting times during the week because NCAA rules. So kind of segue into the professional. Got to do it that way. And you know what? A lot of people, older players, fear change. They really do. I always feared change because I just was so set in my ways the way I did it. But you know what? This team isn't as old as you think it is. They got a lot of young guys, and these guys are really receptive. If maybe the veterans are one or two-year guys, they'll love the change because it's kind of just removed a little bit from what they did in college. So it all makes sense. And, you know, my hat's off to Ben McAdoo because, you know, we talk about how difficult it is for him to come after the Tom Coughlin era and do some things differently. He's accepted that he has to keep a couple things, you know, here and there. But for the most part, I love what he's been doing with the way he talks to the media, the way he does things at practice, and how he's going to, you know, change the image. This is Ben McAdoo's team now, and we're about to see how it's going to work.
201-939-4513. Let's get right out to your calls. We have Quinn calling in from Cape Cod. He wants to talk about wide receiver Sterling Shepard. Quinn, welcome in.
Hi, Quinn.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just had a quick question because I think that whoever the second receiver on this team is going to be next year is going to be really big in fantasy, obviously, because I love fantasy and just on the team.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, how did Victor do yesterday? Because I know that going on the conditioning and seeing how he really is and if he can cut against somebody else, how he was doing.
Well, I, you know,
I mean, he just he passed yeah. his physical yesterday. I mean, yesterday all the players had to arrive and they had to go through physicals. So, and the positive is he passed his physical. Today is the day that we're going to see exactly how is Victor Cruz going to be utilized in practice. How much is he going to do? Is he going to do individual drills? Will he want run 7-on-7? Will he be a part of team? Today will be really, I think, really telling in regard to how quickly or how slowly the Giants are going to work him in. Paul and I talked about it. And thank you for the phone call, by the way, Quinn. Paul and I talked about it the other day. I see Victor Cruz playing in preseason game number 2 and 3. I don't see him playing in preseason games number 1 and 4. That's what I anticipate. Even though he's ready to get in there, I see a slow progression, getting him ready, and I think preseason game number 2 is when you really want to watch and see what caliber of Victor Cruz we're going to get this season.
And the other thing too, today is important, as is tomorrow, because anytime you're doing, you know, these conditioning tests, there is a little bit of soreness involved the next day, no matter who you are. So it's important to understand how did he feel coming out of that conditioning test today, and how that calf felt and how his knee felt, you know. And so they're not going to do a whole lot today at practice, but tomorrow will be, you know, a bigger dose of practice. So, but you're right, Anita. I think that 2 and 3, the preseason games will win. The third game is the most. You know, they do the whole, they come out of the halftime, they usually play those 3 quarters, and then that's it for the preseason for the starters. So we'll see what happens. But it's interesting to see, you know, how Sterling Shepard, he'll play in every one of those games because they want to understand and see how this guy plays. And I am very excited about Sterling Shepard. I mean, I feel like they went out and got a guy that's a very, you know, very almost identical to a Victor Cruz, just in case something happened with Victor Cruz that he could. We all hope that Victor comes back, you know, full strength and can play a full season, because that will only help this offense having weapons like they do now.
Let's go to B-Lo. He's calling in from New Orleans.
Hey, B-Lo.
Good morning. I'm glad y'all got your video back up.
I know, right?
Right? Well, actually, we
waited for the pretty one to come back.
Well, no, actually, what's actually been great is I haven't had to wear any makeup or get my hair did before. Actually, I've really enjoyed not having video, but that's just, see, there's not much preparation here.
Yeah, no. Nothing.
Okay, I mean, this is anti.
This is all natural, right?
This is
here.
Anti Ryan Fitzpatrick, right here.
Oh my God! How about that, right? Whoa!
Look at,
man,
you. I mean,
his hair is like up to here.
I even had hair envy yesterday.
Wow,
man,
that's awesome.
I would love a thick head of hair like that.
That is awesome.
That
I'll
is
tell you
just
what.
Ridiculous. But anyway, we've derailed. What you got for us on Big Blue Kickoff Live?
I just wanted to find out about that PUP list. I saw Snacks and JT on there.
Yeah,
and it said something about they could be out to week 6 or something like that. Or if they're out, they can't come back till week 6.
No. Okay, two different things. They are on the training camp PUP, which means they're just not practicing right now. As soon as they're ready and they feel that they're able to practice, they could come off the PUP anytime. Now, if you are on the PUP at the start of the regular season, yes, you are correct. You cannot play for the first 6 weeks. This is preseason PUP. So they could come off the list anytime. It is Harrison who's dealing with a knee, not to be serious. It's JT Thomas dealing with a hamstring, and it's Bromley. He had some ankle chips that he had to get removed, his ankle kind of cleaned out. So all three, not serious. It's just a timetable. When they're ready to come back, they're off like that.
And it stands for all those that are listening and watching. It stands for physically unable to perform. So that's what the PUP comes from.
Okay.
One other thing, too, when one of those guys come off the PUP and come on to the roster, there's one guy that has to leave the roster. So keep an eye on that. You know, right now they're carrying 3 other guys that these guys, you know, they're going to come off sooner or later. So there has to be 3 other people that come off the regular roster, too.
Okay. Another thing. How does a person like Bobby Rainey stand a chance on this roster? Because I know he specialized at running back and he played a lot of special teams, but we have like 7 running backs already, including him. and we have Dwayne Harris, and Odell Beckham is a good backup on special teams for Dwayne Harris. So how will he fit in?
Okay. Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it's a good question because I think people are kind of –
I think thank you for the phone call. Appreciate you watching from New Orleans, where I actually spent 3 years of my life.
Of course, yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes.
We talked about that. I think that there is just so much depth at this running back position. Rashad Jennings, Shane Vereen. I think that this team needs to be committed to Andre Williams to see, just give him one more year to see what he can do. Darkwa, coaches love him. Players in that locker room love him. And then the fact that the team went out and drafted Paul Perkins. Unfortunately, I think Bobby Rainey falls to the wayside. I think he'll be here for a camp to get the reps, whatnot, but I don't see him making the final roster.
I think he's here for a couple reasons. Number one, I feel like he's maybe a little bit of an insurance policy if something happens to Dwayne Harris because he has returning experience. The other one is that Mike Sullivan, the new offensive coordinator, was with him in Tampa Bay. So I feel like there's a little bit of connection between those two guys. But unfortunately, as we all know, there's only 53 guys that are going to make this team out of the 90 that are on the roster right now. So I think he's a long shot, but I think he's here for those reasons.
Let's continue with your calls. We go to line 4, Jose, calling him from Teaneck.
Hey, Jeff and Anita.
Hi, Jose.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Welcome in.
I'm just calling because I'm a little disappointed. I set out every year and, excited to go to camp, my family, friends. You know, you take vacation days, personal days, sick days, whatever you can just to attend and support the Big Blue Nation and all of a sudden –
the weather
I'm
kicks
watching
in.
NFL Network, and I see that the Patriots, wet conditions, they're out there and, in inclement weather. And it's part of football, and 2-3 hours prior to practice, they shut it down. And I'm ready to go. The kids are ready, excited. They've been waiting all year. You see, football doesn't stop for me. It's an all-year thing.
Yeah.
And, it's just a little heartbreaking that you set out. You pack up and you're ready to go, and
it's
and,
unfortunate.
And the forecast, Jeff. The forecast. If you go by the forecast, you knew that the weather was going to break right around 10 o'clock, and it's sunny, it's bright, and I mean, there's no reason to send thousands of fans. And I'm not
well. There is. I understand, and it is. And it's unfortunate. I think that, you look at the other teams, what they're doing, the Giants are going to just copy them. I think that you have to understand that this team inevitably has had problems with injuries, and they're a little bit, they want to make sure that they start off on the right foot here. The fields are in great shape out there, but you just got to be careful, So luckily, there are other training camp opportunities on the weekends coming up that they're open practices. Really, it is unfortunate, and I'm sorry you had to cancel your day, but there are, if you look at Giants.com, the training camp schedule's there. There's some other days during the week on the weekends that you guys can hopefully come out and join the team.
Yeah, like I said, I'm a full supporter. I'm just a little bummed out.
I know.
I just wanted to call about that. Guys, thank you for accepting
You're welcome.
The call, and have a good day, and let's go Big Blue.
You got it. Let's go Big Blue. 201-939-4513. That's how you get on board. Also, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll be monitoring Twitter, so send us your comments or your questions. Let's go to line 1. Marco is calling in from Connecticut. Marco, you're up.
Hey, Marco.
Hey, guys. Nice to be with you today.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Jeff, I'd love to get your feedback on this, but Anita, I've listened to, it seems like since the draft where you've had some strong points about Ryan Nassib, and I respect your stance and your opinion on Nassib and his future. I just wanted to call and maybe share some points that I had on him.
Sure, absolutely.
I think, Nassib, I like him here because, as our backup quarterback, part of the quarterback group. And I wish him luck, as a player, of course. But what I really like about him is, I think he fits this offense well. And when Ben McAdoo came in, people were really excited about Nassib. Well, actually, it was coming off when Eli had some bad years. People thought that Nassib actually could be the primary quarterback in this offense because he replicated the athleticism that McAdoo had maybe with Aaron Rodgers out in Green Bay. Not obviously not to that caliber, but
sure.
The athleticism, he can move well, and that's what they thought the offense that we were getting here. Eli has obviously shown that he's more than productive in this offense. But the thing about Ryan Nassib that it's not that I disagree with you. I'm having a hard time seeing things the same way because there's no, you know, fortunately for us, I mean, there's no tape on him around the league that would garner him to be a starting quarterback next year. I mean, I know he's a free agent. I know coaches are probably they have some tape and scouting reports on players that. They have more access to players than we would ever have, especially fans. And you being with the media and the Giants, I think you have more information than we would have. And that's one point. And then my second point is, I to give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, again, I'd like him to stay with the Giants, but when I look around the league, if a team is not set with a quarterback, then they invested in a young quarterback in the last year or 2 years. I mean, racking my brain, the only team I could ever think about would be Cleveland, who has no young quarterback besides RG3. I don't know what happens there. But they could possibly be the number one, be picking number one overall next year, and they would be looking at Deshaun Watson out of Clemson. And this is getting so far ahead, but those are some points that I've had on my mind about Nassib that I wanted to share with you for a long time.
Well, all right, let me say, and thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate it, Marco. And I know you and I, we don't have a chance to host that often together. So maybe you don't, just to kind of bring you up to speed, I am the president of the Ryan Nassib fan club.
Bing, bing.
Yes. I think the kid is really tremendous. And
yeah.
I do believe that he is a starting quarterback in the NFL. In fact, I will put him in the top 20 quarterbacks in the NFL. Granted, and I think you can say the same thing for a number of quarterbacks. Yes, it's about a system. A certain system is going to fit a quarterback better than others. That is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's about an offensive line. Yes, it's about the talent you put around him. Yes, it's about him gelling with his quarterback coach and his offensive coordinator and having a head coach that believes in him. All those things have – those stars – and you know this even better than I do. They have to align properly for any quarterback to have any success in the NFL. Does that exist for Ryan Nassib here? Absolutely. However, this is a team that has gone out last year and extended Eli Manning's contract. Eli Manning, and Giants fans should be thrilled about this. Eli Manning's going to – you'll get a vintage Eli Manning under Ben McAdoo's system, of course, if the offensive line protects him properly, for the next 3 to 5 years. You cannot expect Ryan Nassib to sit back and be content with being a backup quarterback when he believes – a number of the coaches here on this staff believe that he could be a successful starting quarterback in the NFL. And I know it's hard for fans, and I get in an argument all the time with Lance Meadow. I know it's hard to grasp that and understand that because you have no – there's no proof. There's no video. Eli Manning never gets injured. He never has to come in. He doesn't have to come back down by 14 with 3 minutes left to win a football game for Giants fans. It just doesn't happen. God bless it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And you're right. There are coaches. Like, I've had the conversation with Hugh Jackson about Ryan Nassib. He doesn't know anything about the kid.
Well,
so
nobody does, really.
They don't. But what I can share with you is the conversations I've had with the coaching staff here. They love the kid. They believe in him. They believe he could be a starting 32. The conversations that I've had with the refs who watch the practice on Thursdays, who the college refs come in here and they watch the practices on Thursdays. They rant and rave about the kid.
Yeah.
They say at times he runs this offense better than Eli Manning can because, Marco, you make an excellent point. The athleticism that Nassib brings is similar to what the athleticism that McAdoo had with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. So this system fits him to a T. I think Giants fans should be blessed. When you look around the NFL, Jeff, how many teams can you go down the 32 teams and say, wow, if that quarterback goes down, the team still has a chance? How many? Maybe five?
Maybe
if you're lucky.
The Eagles definitely have a bunch of guys. They have enough quarterbacks
but
for
Chase,
the whole
okay,
league.
Okay, so it's
but
it's,
if it's
I
Chase
mean, Wentz,
da- yeah.
Wentz isn't going to be ready this year, so
sure.
It's really it's Chase Daniels.
Yeah.
So if Bradford goes down, I mean, what do we know about Chase Daniels?
But, you know, and
we don't.
It's all going to be up to, you know, I think the philosophy of the team, And I think the philosophy of the team is that we've got our guy to back up Eli Manning. We know how good Ryan Nassib is. We can only keep him for one more year. He's
right.
a free agent next year. So I feel like, and the caller made a good point, how many other teams next year are going to be looking for a starting quarterback?
So one thing that I've talked about is it's and it's a double-edged sword.
It is.
If the Giants are a team that really feels they can compete for a Super Bowl, which I believe they do, they're not going to trade Nassib, because you don't know what, God bless, nothing happens to Eli Manning, but you just don't know. And you want that backup quarterback back to come in that you trust and you know can win football games for your ball club just in case.
And we know that the trades don't happen that much in the NFL. And why would you cut your nose to spite your face and go ahead and trade your number two guy to get something in return? And when you know you've got a commodity there, you're not going to get much for him. I'm telling you, there's, like you said, there's nothing that shows that he can play in the NFL game.
So this is an investment. You're right. But this is an investment and a security blanket that just in case anything happens to Eli Manning.
And it's a good one.
The Giants won't miss a beat.
And it's a good one, too. And you know what? You never know. The Giants could come to Ryan and say, listen, you know what? We know you want to be a starting quarterback. But, you know, we're going to make you an offer to stay here as a backup to Eli. That's going to be up to you. And is it money that they want to pay for that backup position, knowing that Eli may only have 2 or 3 years left to play? Who knows? But, you know, I have no idea. How long did Aaron Rodgers sit in Green Bay until he started to play? So there's some time there, but it'll be interesting. It's, you know, to fast forward, we're going to talk more about what's happening here and take a couple more calls and see. But it's a very interesting story. I mean, we really could talk about this for the whole show and get some people to chime in on it. But it'll be an interesting situation what happens next year.
Yeah, it will be. And also, I'm excited to see what Nassib can do during preseason games.
But, man, every game that we saw him play the last couple of years, he's lit it up.
I know. And that's his only – let's face it.
But people will say, oh, my God, come on, it's a preseason game. Anita, you know, he's not playing against anybody that's any good. And this, you know what? That's not his fault. It really isn't. You play with the hand you're dealt.
Dealt.
Okay? So, hey, Ryan. Here you go. You're starting today in preseason game number 2. Go out and show us what you can do. Oh, the game's over. Oh, Ryan, 106 passer rating. You did pretty good, buddy. Thank you. That's all he can do. Okay.
I mean, this is his stage.
Yeah, this is his stage. Good point. This is his stage.
You know, the 4 preseason games are his stage. Giants fans will definitely watch, and I'm sure I will get a ton of calls, and I'm sure that I will get a ton of tweets, and hopefully by the end of preseason, you'll want to join my Ryan Nassib fan club.
You know what it's like? It's like, okay, we're going to go see Bon Jovi, right? And then he's the warm-up band right before the Bon Jovi, right? That's what it is. And he kills it.
And he crushes it. It's like, you know what? Perfect example. I went to go see Sheryl Crow one night, and this guy came out to perform, and he blew it up. I mean, he was just like phenomenal. Ray LaMontagne.
And everybody was asking, like, why is he warming up?
Nobody
right?
knew anything about him. And he was a rock star. Sure. To the point where, like, Crow came out, and I was just like, okay, let's bring that other dude back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, perfect example. 201-939-4513, that's the number. If you want to get on board, now's the time to do it. We got 10 more minutes left in the show. But also, Jeff and I, we're going to start breaking down the offensive side of the ball. And, I mean, we just talked about Ryan Nassib. Let's talk about Eli Manning. I'm really thrilled for him this season. As you know, I'm really big into fantasy football.
Yep.
I'm preaching to fantasy football fans out there. Ryan Nassib will be drafted as a 9, 10, 11 quarterback coming off the board. I'm telling you, he's going to finish the season as a top 5.
Ryan or Eli?
Eli.
Oh, you said Ryan.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
it just goes to show you that I am listening to you.
I got Ryan Nassib on the right. But Eli Manning, I do believe at the end of the year, I think he's going to put up top 5 fantasy football numbers. I love the fact this is his third year in Ben McAdoo's system. He's been working on his feet work. Let's be honest. Manning brothers, they're phenomenal quarterbacks, but not too athletic. This is what he's been focusing in on this offseason. Every offseason, he focuses on something else. This year, it's been his feet work. I'm excited about it. I think they're going to have a greater success and attention to running the football, which I think is going to open up things for him. The addition of Sterling Shepard. Hopefully you get an 85% Victor Cruz, some talent at the tight end position. Hopefully Larry Donnell can stay healthy. I'm really excited for this season for Eli Manning. I think he can compete for MVP this year.
Well, it would be nice to have, you know, one of those years where Eli Manning can say that, you know, he was an MVP candidate and maybe, you know, had a maybe a 13-win season, you know, and put up 5,000 yards passing. He has the ability to do that this year with some of the weapons that he has around them. I know that the caveat in this is we keep talking about all the time is that right side of the offensive line. But, you know, really when you talk about all his weapons, the third year in the system, what he can do is can be pretty incredible. And I feel like Eli is you know, him and Ben McAdoo are like two peas in a pod. These guys are grinders, man. They love football. They love to talk about how can we get better and how can we put ourselves in better positions against this type of a matchup in the game. And I'm seeing going forward that this is only a relationship that's only going to get better now that Ben McAdoo is the main guy and would be able to make all the decisions when it comes down to it. You don't know exactly what type of decision was making going back last year with Tom and Ben, but Ben's the guy now. He's going to have the say in that offense, and sure enough, we'll learn sooner or later if he's going to be calling the plays or not. I believe he will. Why not? He comes from Green Bay where McCarthy calls the plays and things
like
that.
McCarthy didn't call the plays at the beginning of the season last year. That Green Bay Packers offense struggled, yes, I'm sure, because they were dealing with no Jordy Nelson on the field as
well.
Yeah,
how about it, right?
but midway through the season, McCarthy started calling the plays again, and
they
got better.
You know, so we talk about this offense and some of the weapons that they have, some of the newer weapons that they have brought in this year through the draft is Sterling Shepard, which we've talked a little bit about. I feel like Paul Perkins, we touched a little bit on that at the beginning of the show. Interesting to see where he will be in this running back mix, which, by the way, I still feel is one of the most competitive position groups to watch out for. You've got a log jam there. You're hearing that how Ben McAdoo is in love with, you know, Andre Williams and how he's lost some weight and he's coming around. Where is he going to fit into this offense when you have a Paul Perkins who comes in here very, very highly recommended and drafted to the point that this guy can play? I mean, you look what he did at UCLA. He's elusive. One thing that you have to look at Paul Perkins is that he's not a huge guy, so you got to look at his pass protection. And, you know, if he can shore that up, and, of course, Vereen coming off the year that he had, do you think that they're going to be going to that running back committee thing again this year? It kind of looks that way, right?
I mean, I do. Listen, last year was the first time Rashad Jennings was able to play in all 16 games. There's a reason for that, because he doesn't
good
have –
point. Yeah.
I mean, listen, you know, no knock on Rashad. I think he's great, and he will be the starting running back here, but he just doesn't – you know, some guys can be that bell cow.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting. On my show last night, I was hosting Stefania Bell's in town. Actually, what a packed house. By the way, what a packed house we have.
I know.
Just a door over Stefania Bell, Jenny Vrintas, Kim Jones, Sal Palantonio, of course, all the guys who cover the Giants already on a daily basis. But there's some really national media that's here today, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
But so she was on my radio show last night. So we were talking a lot of fantasy and obviously catering to the Giants and the Jets. And we were talking about Rashad Jennings. And she said, listen, there's a reason why Rashad Jennings played all 16 games, because he's not a bell cow running back.
No.
He doesn't, unfortunately, it's too risky to use him as such because the risk of injury. And I went down the list. You know, there's only about legitimate six heavy hitting bell cow running backs in the NFL.
Out of 32.
I think you can kind of teeter on eight, but only six. And I think this is the way right now. So I do believe I'm looking at Rashad Jennings getting anywhere between maybe 12 to 15 touches a game.
Well, you know, it's almost the running back position is almost like that third corner. You got to have that extra guy.
Right.
You know, because there isn't the guys anymore that can carry that bell cow like Anita says. So you got to have a true backup player that's going to get in there and carry those. I just don't want to see it three and four guys. You know, this. I'd rather see the two guys. Now, who is that second guy? We know it's Vereen. Is the second guy. And by the way, Shane Vereen, you know, he had 11 games where he carried the ball more than four times for over almost a 4.5 yard average. And, you know, so he gets the ball. You just don't really realize it. But who is going to be that second guy? Is it going to be Paul Perkins? Is it going to be Andre Williams? Who's it going to be? And I feel that, you know, when you go through these preseason games, take a look at this running back position, because I think it's very interesting. Arlene Darkwell, one of the best special teams players on the Giants, is in the thick of the mix here, you know, because there are those guys that are on the back end of the roster that may not be a starter, but you got to have your special teams guys. Arlene Darkwell is one of those. So a packed house at that running back position. Then you got, you know, you got Will Johnson. Well, I know he's not a running back, but he's, you know, where is he going to fit into this offense? Is he, you know, are they going to go back to the old H-back with him, or is he going to play tight end? I you know, it's very interesting to watch there, too.
Ralph Facchiano, who's now with SNY, did you know that he's got a new gig with SNY?
I heard that yesterday. Like, congratulations. Yeah, I like
Giants.
Ralph. Yeah.
He said he's at – so, again, while we're hosting, Giants are practicing right now. He said using Billy Joel as the soundtrack to Giants camp.
There you go.
I think I'm gonna like this Ben McAdoo guy. So right now, yeah. Music being played for the millennials. How funny is that? Is a little Billy Joel? Maybe.
But I gotta believe
the garden.
I gotta believe the millennials know Billy Joel though. I mean, come on, really? I mean, that's awesome. So.
I would hope so.
Was it a New York State of Mind?
Probably. Paul Perkins, I think, is going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know he's going to make the roster. He was drafted by the Giants. But I hear great things about this guy.
I want to see
will
him play.
The thing is, I'm interested. Will he leapfrog over Andre Williams and be the third guy in this running back court?
I think there's a good chance.
I think there's a good chance as well. At the tight end position, Larry Donnell, Will Tye. They went out and they drafted Jarrell Adams. Keep that in mind. I mean, there's a lot of talent on this tight end core. Who do you anticipate starting at the tight end position regular season game one against Dallas?
I think it'll be Larry Donnell. I just, you know, his size, I think that, you know, he's coming off that injury. I think that he, you know, the first half of the season last year, he did well. The second half, not very well. But I still think he's a big target for Eli. When, you know, and really, Will Tye is a good player. He proved that he can play in this league last year after coming out of a small college. But I look at those two guys to be your tight ends. Where does Will Johnson fit in that mix? But I feel the rookie is a rookie. He's going to, you know, he's a six-round draft pick. He's, you know, they don't like to get rid of their draft picks around here, but he's going to have to earn a position there because you got a couple other veterans that are trying to vie for that third tight end spot, which they'll carry three.
And last but not least, let's talk about the offensive line situation.
Sure.
Eric Flowers coming into his second year and healthy. I'm sure Giants fans, because they listen to the show, but I don't think the world knew that Eric Flowers was playing pretty banged up last year. So excited to see what Eric Flowers can do at that left tackle position. Of course, then you have Justin Pugh, you've got Weston Richburg, and then at the right side is really where the big questions come. Okay,
well, I think Marshall
Newhouse, John Jerry, Bobby Hart, they're all going to be competing for some positions there. And also interested to see, will there be another right tackle that will be brought in at some point in time to compete with Marshall Newhouse?
Well, I think the real competition is going to be at that right tackle. I think that John Jerry is solidified as being that right guard, unless somebody comes and unseats him. But there's your four out of your five linemen that are pretty much penciled in as your starters. You know, Bobby Hart, he played a lot of right tackle at Florida State. I feel that they want him to be the guy, but, you know, he's not a veteran yet. I mean, you got Marshall Newhouse out there who, you know, really he needs to get better both in run and pass, because last year was, you know, not his best year. So that's going to be the number one competitive position on there. Who's going to take it over? I have a feeling that it could be Marshall Newhouse. Maybe not for a long, if Bobby Hart can get his act together and really prove that he can play and be a starter. But like you said, Anita, you know, if those two options that I just mentioned are not there by the third or fourth week of preseason, there's going to be a veteran out there that is sitting back going, I ain't going to training camp. I'm tired of training camp, but I'll play the regular season. Who that may be, or I don't know. But it's probably – and it's not just the Giants. These clubs are always looking for those veterans at the end of training camp to bring them in if there's a need at a certain position.
Great stuff as always.
Thank you, Anita.
Good
seeing you.
Love hosting the show with you. Hopefully we've given Giants fans a really great outline in regard to the positions, what to expect. Again, unfortunately, it's raining. Practice today for the Giants is inside. But from what I understand in following Twitter is that the NFL Network is actually – showing clips. They're showing live coverage from Giants Giants practice. So if you want to check out the NFL Network, please, by all means, do. If you missed any portion of the show, it'll be up on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon. Stay tuned to Giants.com for all your Giants information, interviews, and whatnot. And also the MSG show is later on tonight. Are you hosting?
Monday I will be.
So I want to say, I think it's Deal. I think
maybe, it's Dotson and Deal today.
So Paul Dottino and David Deal will be hosting that show. From what time to what time?
When there's, I'll tell you what, guys. When there's practice, The game, the show will air, I believe it's at 6 o'clock. I'm not completely sure, but it is in the evening. And when there is not a practice, I believe it will be taped and put on there. Not 100% of that. Check Giants.com for that. Also, you got to know about practice schedules. It's on the website. Go on there. You can see which practices are open to the public. Not all of them are, folks. So make sure that you don't show up here on the day that the practice is closed.
And again, just a final reminder, Big Blue Kickoff Live, the remainder of training camp, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. So make sure you tune in. Have a great afternoon, everybody.